Open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 2, second chapter of Luke, page 1073 in your Scofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading a verse here and then going to a portion of Scripture found in John. I'll give you that a little later. For now, Luke chapter 2, we'll read verse 14. We'll read the verse in unison. You'll recognize it, of course, as part of the Christmas story that which the angels said in response to appearing to the shepherds. Shall we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of the Word of God? Read with me, please, the 14th verse of Luke chapter 2. Ready? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now turn to the book of John, the 12th chapter. John, the 12th chapter, page 1133 in your Scofield Bible. Okay, we'll read verses 27 and 28. We'll read these verses also together. Read with me, please. Ready? Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the way that you so fill our hearts. We pray that you'd bless now and help that our minds might be more than attentive to the preaching of your word just now. And we pray that you'd give us the ability to concentrate upon that which the preacher brings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, I'm sure you understand we're later than usual tonight. We're probably about 15 to 20 minutes later than usual, and I assure you that tonight, in spite of the fact we did get a late start, I assure you that we'll get out. And you have nothing to worry about at all. We will get out. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, or the text as the heavenly host sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. If I could take one of the earlier Christmas season services and make your Christmas a little bit more spiritual and make you understand just a little bit more what Christmas is all about, I thought I would do so earlier than usual this year. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Our Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, our discussion tonight and this simple preacher as he tries once again to delve into that which is profundity. When simplicity tries to explain profundity, it takes omniscience. And I pray that the omniscient God of gods will speak through simplicity the great profound truth of this book so that all of us may hear and understand. Please, now give me the attention of all the people. Amen. Please follow me very carefully, mainly because I want you to hear me, but more than that tonight, because it'll take a little more fellowship on the part of your mind if you understand what is spoken. Here, where we've read, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, here is where the entire Christian story is perverted and misunderstood. How shallow we are in our interpretation. All over the world, and especially all over America, in a few days, if you have babies, please take them out. I want the folks here and don't have much time. So, all over America, and in many parts of the world, these words will be quoted, chanted, and sung. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And here's what we will say they mean. They mean we're supposed to have peace on earth. Nations should not fight each other, and we should not have war between us and strife between us. Now, that is a truth, but that's not what this verse is teaching. We say that means no war. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That means smile at each other on the street. And be courteous and be kind, because this is Christmas time. Jesus came to make us at peace with each other. He came to make us love each other, be kind to each other, be gracious to each other. Now, I believe that God wants us to be and do all of that. But I do not believe for a single minute that when the incarnation of deity became a reality, that it was as shallow as smiled everybody on the street. I think it's far, far more profound than that. Now, what does it really mean? Now, follow me very, very carefully. I want to take these statements. Number one, glory to God in the highest. Number two, peace on earth. Number three, goodwill toward men. Now, in the first place, what does it mean, glory to God in the highest? Follow me carefully. This is what God made us to do, was to glorify God in the highest. Before there was ever a world, there was a God the Father, and there was a God the Son. And God the Son and God the Father fellowship in blessed and perfect unity and harmony. God the Father enjoyed that fellowship so much, till God decided to make a whole world of little Jesuses to honor and glorify and praise His name. Now, that's what He made us to do. You weren't made just to fill up your face and make a living and go to work and come home and watch the box and go to bed and get up and go to work and come home and watch the box and go to bed and get up and go to work and come home, watch the box and go to bed. I don't think you're made probably to watch the box anyhow, but I'm saying you weren't made for that. No, God made you for the glory of Himself. The purpose of man's creation was that it may be glory to God in the highest. But God wanted man to voluntarily glorify Him, and to voluntarily praise Him, and to voluntarily honor Him. And so God gave man a will so that man could choose to glorify Him or choose not to glorify Him. Now follow me carefully. Man chose not to glorify Him. Now, because of that, man cannot offer acceptable glory to God until sin is cared for. Did you hear me? I said, man cannot offer acceptable glory to God until sin is cared for. All across this nation this morning, all across this nation, churches that do not believe this book is God's book, and churches that do not believe in the virgin birth of the Son of God, and churches that do not believe in the sinless life of our Savior, and churches that do not believe in the vicarious death of our Lord, and churches that do not believe in the bodily resurrection of our Lord, tried or had what they call a worship service. And it wasn't any more worship service than a hound dog looking at the moon and howling. Not a bit. Why? Because God, any worship that man sends to God, or any glory that man sends to God, is only acceptable when the sin question is cared for. And until the sin question is cared for, God does not accept our praise, our honor, and our glorifying of Himself. So, now comes the Savior as a sacrifice. And the Savior's coming in Bethlehem. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Now then, with the Savior coming, and coming to pay the penalty for man and settle the sin question, now God can accept our glory. And so, by Jesus coming in Bethlehem, when they sang glory to God in the highest, what they really were saying is now there can be acceptable glory to God in the highest, for only redeemed men can offer glory to God, and man cannot be redeemed until he has a Savior. And now there is a Savior come. And the Savior's coming as a sacrifice, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And now then, a Savior is come, and the sin question's cared for, because the Son question is cared for, and man can offer glory to God in the highest. Now, because the sin question's cared for. Now, wait a minute. It wasn't a matter that God would not accept our glory until sin was cared for. It was that God could not accept our glory till sin was cared for. God could not accept the worship and praise and glory of fallen man acceptably unless the sin question's cared for. Now listen again.
I've said it so often from this pulpit. Christ, I see bumper stickers, Christ died for you. And He did. But that's not the main reason Christ died. The main reason Christ died was for God. Don't you see, God made man to honor Himself and glorify Himself. Man chose not to honor God. It was man, God that wanted man, not man that wanted God. A lonesome man didn't say, I'd like to have a God. Forgive me for putting it this way, but a lonesome God said, I'd like to have a man. A man that wanted praise and glory did not say, I'll make me a God. A God that wanted praise and glory said, I'll make me a man. And so God made us. Listen to me. If your life is not glorifying God, then you're a failure. A failure. Now listen. God, Christ died for God. God wanted man back when man sinned. Man did not want God back. Man chose to leave God. So Christ did not die primarily so you could get back to God. Christ died primarily so God could accept you back in case you ever did come back to Him. So Christ died for God. Why? Because God made man to glorify Himself. And when man sinned, that broke it off. And man cannot glorify God until the sin question is cared for. And when John pointed to Jesus and said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, he was saying, there is the settle to the sin question. And once the sin question is settled, now the praise question can brought back up again. And when God sent the angels to sing glory to God in the highest, what he was saying was, now then, because of the Savior coming in Bethlehem, and because He's the Lamb of God, there can be glory to God in the highest. And so, Christ died for God. Jesus did not die to give man peace. He died to give God man. And in giving God man, He died to give God glory. Let me say again, folks. Christ did die for you, but more than Christ died for you, Christ died for God. Let me show you what I mean. Brother John, stand right here, please, if you would. And you take this microphone right here. And you face me, and you be God. And use the microphone right up there to you for little lips now. And you be God, or I am man. You made me. It's your fault. And you made me. And you made me for what purpose?
To glorify me.
To glorify you. And you gave me a will where I could glorify you by my choice or choose not to glorify you. Is that right?
That's right.
And so I chose not to glorify you. So what happened? You turned your back from me because I turned my back from you. And now, man, if I glorify God now, it will not be accepted because sin has come between God and man. Let me ask you a question. Who chose for us to turn away from each other, God or man? Tell me out loud. Man. Okay, then if man chose to do it, who do you think wants the relationship restored the most, God or man? God. And so here is man facing this way. And if man turns back and says, God, I want you back, God cannot accept man back. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And so God could not accept man back. Ah, but one day, 2,000 years ago, in a little manger in Bethlehem, God became flesh. And Jesus came as a child in Bethlehem. And the angels got happy and said, Hey, glory to God! Glory to God! Now man can give glory to God. Again, why? Because the Savior's come to make it possible. So if man will turn to God on the basis of the Savior, God will turn to man. And once again, man can glorify God as he was intended to in the first place. Thank you, God. That's what it means. Glory to God in the highest. The angels weren't coming down and singing, Okay, let's all sing some songs, the Christmas program now, and let's all smile, it's Christmas time, and let's all have peace, and let's all pat each other on the back. Now, I'm for that. I'm not against that. I was nice one time myself, 1938, and I'm for that, and I'm for man being kind. But that's not the great truth of this verse. Angelic creatures came from glory, and they shouted, Hey, now then, the God who deserves glory can get glory. Why? Because the Savior's come. That's why. Glory to God in the highest. Now there's a second thing. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Now follow me carefully. When God said peace, the angels sang, Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. They weren't singing peace on earth, goodwill among men. They were singing peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Toward men? What does it mean? It means that this little Savior not only comes to make it possible for God to get the glory that He originally intended to get from man, but that this little Savior came so man could have peace with God. It is not talking about peace among men. Now follow me carefully. This is not man with man. Peace, man with man. This is peace, God toward man. Now, when you make peace with God, but God makes peace with you, and peace comes between you and God, then peace between you and your fellow man is a byproduct. But man can now have peace with God. Folks, this is a theological declaration. Are you listening? This is a theological declaration. This is not some little floating angels with blonde hair with a magic wand wearing a white outfit floating to the sky and saying, smile, smile, be happy with each other, don't get in any fusses. No, these are emissaries from glory saying, up in heaven, there's a Jehovah God. He made man to glorify Him, and man chose not to. But this little baby coming in Bethlehem's manger has come to pay the penalty. So now then, God in the highest can get the glory He deserves. That isn't all He's saying also. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. He's saying that there may be peace on earth, that God and man may have peace. Now, listen carefully. You don't get right with man by getting right with man. Mr. Reagan and Mr. Garbage off. They can sit there all they want to, but they are not going to negotiate peace between anybody on this earth. Man will never have peace with man till man knows peace with his God. And Christmas was not so man could have peace with man. Christmas is so man have peace with God. And once man has peace with God, then a beautiful, sweet, precious byproduct is that man has peace with man because things that are equal to the same thing are equal to each other. You don't get right with man by getting right with man. You get right with man by getting right with God. We want to get right with God. Hear me carefully. We want to get right with God by getting right with man. We say if you'll get right with your fellow man, then you'll be right with God. That's humanism. That's what humanism is. That you're right with God by getting right with man. No. You're right with man by getting right with God. You get right that way, then you get right that way. But you'll die and go to hell if you try to get right that way by getting right that way. You get right with Him. The angels who came to singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, were saying, firstly, now then, God can get glory because of this baby in Bethlehem, God incarnate, God in the flesh. And now then, man can have peace with God and thereby have peace with man. Our problems are not with each other. And that's why all these little two-bit psychiatrists and psychologists on television programs, talk programs, tell us how to get right with each other, how to get right with each other, how to get right with each other. They're full of prunes. Somebody ought to get on the television programs and say, get right with God. And then once you relate yourself with God, then God will give you the proper relationship with man. You see, Jesus didn't come to make us right with each other. He came to make us right with God. And we refuse. By the way, we weren't made to praise each other. We were made to praise God. But see, we want to praise each other. And by praising each other, we want God to accept us. No, you got it backwards. You come first and get God's acceptance, and then God will give you praise for each other. But you don't praise Him, you don't praise man. And you'll never, and by the way, that's what humanism is, and that's what modernism is. It is man trying to get right with God by getting right with man. But you don't do that. You get right with God, and then a byproduct is you get right with man. We refuse the only solution for peace among men. Now follow me carefully. Colossians 2:17 says, by Him, Jesus, all things consist. That word consist means to be held together. Let me illustrate. Years ago, you've heard me tell this story, many of you, some of it, not all the story, but years ago, I was pastoring in Garland, Texas. We had to build a building. Didn't have any money. We were just about a year or so old. We had to build, running 600-700 Sunday school, and just about a year old. Had to build. Banks wouldn't touch us because we weren't old enough to borrow any money, had no credit rating. Finally borrowed $13,000 from a fellow named David Goforth. Individual, wealthy man, $13,000. That's all we had. I decided to build an educational building 40 feet wide, 80 feet long for $13,000. Try that sometime. $13,000. That's the building where I finished the building and we dedicated it. And the mayor was there. And we had a big platform set up in front of the building. And I said, folks, this is Mayor Walker, mayor of our city of Garland. He's going to take the scissors and cut the ribbon opening the building. Mayor Walker stood up and said, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a fancy building, but for $13,000, it sure is an attractive, neat little building. And he said, I want us all to give Reverend Hiles, that's me, Reverend Hiles, I want us all to give Reverend Hiles a standing ovation. And they stood, and I hate standing ovations. I hate them with a passion. The only thing I hate worse than a standing ovation is not to get a standing ovation. But they all stood and clapped, and Mayor Walker said, now before I cut the ribbon with the scissors, he said, I'd like to ask Reverend Hiles something. We've been through this nice, comfortable building. And he said, I'd like to ask him what kind of heat the building has. We have not noticed any heat in the building, and I'm sure there's special kind of heat. He said, Reverend Hiles, what kind of heat? Now, by the way, mayor was there, city council was there, city plan commission there, 952 folks there that day. And he said, Reverend, what kind of heat do you have? See, I was the contractor. I built the building myself. Couldn't afford a contractor. I put the drywall up, the ceiling, and on the walls. I put down the tile floor myself, laid the tile floor. Many a 4x8 piece of drywall only has one shingle nail in it in that building right now. And if those folks knew it, they wouldn't walk in that building, I'll guarantee you this day. But anyway, he said, what kind of heat, Reverend? He said, folks, Reverend Hiles was a contractor of this job. He said, what kind of heat? I said, heat. Heat? Yes, he said, Reverend Hiles, is it electric heat? I said, heat. Heat. He said, is it gas? I know. He said, it must be poured in the concrete floor. Is that where the heat is? I said, heat. I built the building and forgot to put any heat in the building. I also forgot to get a building permit. That was on purpose, so I knew my plans wouldn't pass because I do the plans freehand on a piece of 8½-11 paper. Laugh all you want to. The building's still there. But they got pipes running down through the hallways where they put gas pipes and got a star drill, knocked a hole, and they call those the Hiles pipes. But now, wait a minute. Everything was fine. Got the heat in there, got the little jets and the stoves. And then it rained. I came down to work next morning after the first rain, and water was that thick all over the building. That thick, that high, all the building. I didn't know what to do. We couldn't find a leak in the roof. Didn't know what to do. I had to wade through my office, 4 inches of water in my office, all over the building, one floor building. Couldn't find. We put some more goo on the roof. Everything. We cleaned out the water. It rained again a few days later. And water 4 inches thick. Thick. High. Thick! All over the building. 4 inches. We looked at that roof. We looked everything. And that roof was perfect. Nothing wrong with the roof. But we put some more goo on the top of it. Rained again a few days later. Water 4 inches. Thick. High in the building. You know what we found it was after months of searching? I had mixed up the mortar for the bricklaying myself. Now, I did not lay the brick, but I mixed up the mortar myself. I did not know that you're supposed to have something in the mortar that kept the water from soaking in the wall. And every time it rained, the water soaked in those walls and came down and got 4 inches deep. Now, that's the trouble of this old sin-cursed world. Jesus, the Bible says, by Jesus all things consist. Now, you may as well tell Mr. Garbage Cough to stay home. You may as well tell Mr. Reagan to go to church every once in a while instead of going over to Geneva. And you may as well say there's no need. Man will never get right with man till man gets right with God. And that's what the angels came to sing. They came to sing glory to God in the highest. Number one, now then man can glorify God acceptably. Why? Because of this child in Bethlehem. And now then man can have peace with himself, with his God, which brings peace with himself. We have more peace talks and yet more war. We have more psychologists and yet more problems. We have more advocates and yet more strife. You know why? Because every university in this nation that's secular, and most of really the Christian universities, spending their time trying to get man right with man, and they're hoping that getting man right with man, that God will make him man right with God. You don't do that. The first thing you've got to do is get right with God. Because Jesus came that you may have peace with your God. Thirdly, goodwill. Goodwill. Now, that's McCaffrey. Paul McCaffrey. Glory to God in the highest. Jesus came that God might be able to take our glory and our praise. Peace on earth toward man, not with man, not among man, toward man, from God toward man. And then goodwill. Now listen carefully. That goodwill is toward man. Didn't say man goodwill toward himself. Goodwill toward man. Jesus came that God might have goodwill toward man. He did not come primarily that man may have goodwill toward man. He came that God may have goodwill. And this word, this term, goodwill, means a righteous decision. A righteous decision. It means that God may now decide to take us back. Why? Because of Bethlehem. Let me show you. Brother Bullard, come here if you would, please. I'm going to be God, and you're going to be Jesus. And you and I, in eternity, God up here close to your little mouth now, and you and I, as far as you can, in eternity, before there was ever a star in the sky, before there was ever a river winding its way toward the ocean, before there was ever a lake of Minnesota like 10,000 teardrops of deity sprinkled on the ground so man could look up while looking down, before there was ever a mountain in Colorado like a pyramid covered with whipped cream, before there was ever a great giant redwood tree as the Samson of the forest, or before there was ever a pine tree in Carolina like a heavenly steeple rising heavenward from an earthly chancel, before there was ever a moon or a sun, before there was ever an earth, before there was ever a star, before there was ever a flower, before there was ever an animal, before there was ever a bird, before there was ever a fish. I as God and you, yes, Jesus, had fellowship. And Jesus, don't we enjoy each other?
Yes, sir.
I wonder what they talked about. I wonder. When deity fellowshiped with deity, I wonder what they said. I wonder how, when righteousness fellowshiped with righteousness, what the vocabulary was. I wonder when omniscience fellowshiped with omniscience, what it was all about. I wonder what they talked about. Had plenty of time. And God fellowshipping with God, it was wonderful. It was beautiful. And Jesus, I love you.
I love you too.
And we have wonderful fellowship, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Jesus, I have a race down on earth, you know. And I wish they knew what I was like. Everybody wants everybody else to know what they're like. Sometimes, I, as a preacher, I want to get my knife out. And I want to cut my heart, my breast open. And I want to say, folks, look at here. This is what's in there. I wish you knew. I wish you knew how much I love you. I wish you knew how many of your burdens I carry. I wish you knew. Oh, if imperfection wants to be known, how much more would a perfect God want to be known? And God the Father said, Jesus, I wish they knew what I was like. I'm a spirit, and man can't understand me. I wish they knew what I was like. Would you go to the earth
You know me like nobody else knows me. Ah, the fellowship we've had. You know my heart, Jesus, don't you?
Yes.
Would you do something? Would you go to the earth? And would you show man what I'm like?
Yes, Father.
Would you take my love and put it in a fleshly body and go to earth and let man know my love? Would you take my mercy and put it in a body of flesh and go to earth so man may know my mercy? Would you take my compassion and put it in a body of flesh so man may know my compassion? Would you go and show him what I'm like?
Yes,
and so Jesus left heaven and came to earth. And just walk up and down there, up and down the altar. He came to earth. What did he come for? He came to reveal the great heart of God. And now on earth, there is God in the flesh. You want to see God's love? Look at Jesus. You want to see God's mercy? Look at Jesus. You want to see God's grace? Look at Jesus. You want to see God's goodness? Look at Jesus. You want to see God's holiness? Look at Jesus. Jesus came to reveal the great heart of God. Now listen also as he continues. Listen also. God said, Jesus, sin causes grief. He said, Jesus, I'd like to pull back the curtain of deity. And I'd like to let man see what sin did to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. God said, by the way, the Bible says that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. Now, God has had to localize Calvary for us so we can understand it. But bless your heart, from the time that God first, by His foreknowledge, knew that there would be a sin committed, God has suffered a Calvary all the time. And God said, oh, what sin does to me. Jesus, go down on earth. Go to a cross. Let them crucify you. Nails in your hands and feet. Crown of thorns on your brow. And let the earth see a visual aid of what sin always does to the great heart of God. Would you go to earth? Thank you, Brother Bullard. Would you go to earth? You know, I was reading this week the scripture we read a while ago. And listen to me carefully. I'll be through it in just a minute. Listen carefully. Jesus says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into the world. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Listen to me for a minute. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. In just a few moments, the wrong trial and the mock trial. In just a few moments, the cat of nine tails across his lovely back, making him indistinguishable as a human being. In just a few moments, Calvary. But Jesus didn't want to die. He was man, and man doesn't want to die. And Jesus said, Father, spare me from this hour, please. Neath the stars of the night walked the Savior, lie of light in the garden of dew-laden breeze. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on his knees. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Jesus said, oh, God. By the way, he had known from eternity he came to die. He had spoken about it in his earthly ministry, except a corn of wheat had fallen on the ground and died, abideth alone. He's talking about his body. He'll destroy the temple and raise it again after 3 days, talking about his body. He knew he was going to die. I'm glad he didn't want to die. And if you let me say this, I think he had a touch of a fear of death because he was as much man as if he were not God, as much God as if he were not man. But Jesus said, Father, let this hour pass. No, he said, never mind. For this cause came I into the world. Now follow me. He said, glorify thyself through me. How do you glorify God and fulfill the purpose of Bethlehem and Calvary? By shouting? No, that's just a little tiny bit of it. I'll tell you how you glorify Him. You glorify Him by night after night taking your wife's fingers and trying to straighten them out. You glorify Him by teaching her to say the books of the Bible. You glorify Him by doing the purpose of God sending you in the world. You don't glorify God just for screaming and hollering. I'm for that. But the way to glorify God is do what you came to do. And Jesus said, for this cause came I in the world. This is what it's all about. May I make your Christmas deeper by telling you in review, the heavenly host came and they said, glory to God in the highest. That was not a command to glorify God. That was a public announcement that through this baby in Bethlehem's manger, now God would accept the glory that man offered Him once again because His justice had been met. On earth, peace toward men. That's not talking about peace among men. Be kind to each other. That's talking about through this little baby in the manger and His life and death and resurrection. Now then, man can have peace toward Him. God can take man back because of this babe in Bethlehem. And He said, goodwill toward men. He wasn't talking about man's goodwill toward man. He was talking about God's goodwill toward man. God could not have goodwill toward man had there been no Calvary, had there been no Jesus. But in Jesus Christ, God can have goodwill or a righteous decision toward man to declare man righteous and have his fellowship restored with man. Now God can do it. I'll close with this. And I don't want to reveal anything here about who it is. The other day, and this happens often, a couple came to my office, a father did. But first he wrote me a note. And he said, my son has run off from home. My son has run off from home. We don't know where he is. I think they said he was a 13-year-old boy. And for several days, they didn't know where he was. Still don't know if they know where he is. Still don't know, and it's been probably a week or so. 13-year-old boy. Oh, I thought, can you imagine? Can you imagine the heartache of a mom and a dad with a 13-year-old boy somewhere in this old wicked Chicagoland area, and they don't know where he is? You multiply, you add all the love that every mother's ever had for a son. You add to that all the love that every mother's ever had for a daughter. And you add to that all the love that every father's ever had for a son. And you add to that all the love that every father's ever had for a daughter. And you add to that all that a husband's ever had for a wife. And you add to that all the love that every wife's ever had for a husband. And you add to that all the love that every child has ever had for a parent. And you add to that all the love that a friend has ever had for a friend, and add it all together. And you'll have a thimble full compared to that manic ocean when you think of the love of Almighty God. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Or could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky? I've sat in my office many a day in the last 26 years and 3 months, and tears running down my cheeks because of somebody in trouble. I've closed my door hundreds of times after talking to somebody in trouble, and I live with people in trouble. I walk with people in trouble. My shoulders catch tears many, many times every week of my life, and practically every day many times. And I've sat down in my office, and I've said, I love him. I love him. And I want him to come back, and I want him to get right. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, if I love him and my heart's broken because he's away from God, I wonder how God must feel. He who is love, He from whom all the rivers of love originate, and He into which all the streams of love pour. God is love. Let me tell you why Jesus came in Bethlehem's manger. Let me tell you why He was born of a virgin mother. Let me tell you what the incarnation's all about, and let me tell you what Christmas is. Christmas is not a little baby coming to a manger to say, everybody be good to each other, He's not. Everybody give each other something now. Don't forget to give your paper boy a dollar. And don't forget to smile to everybody in the stores while you shop. And don't forget to be sweet and kind. I'm for all of that. But that's not Christmas. Christmas is the God of gods becoming flesh. And coming to earth is in as Jesus to reveal the heart of God to man and to make it so God could get the glory he intended to get in the first place from his creatures. May I say this? I don't say this lightly. I don't. But I love him. He knows I do. I love him. I don't want him to go without what he needs. I don't want him to go without the praise he intended to get from me. I don't want him to go without the honor I was made to give him. I love him. You love somebody, you want them to have what they want and what they need. And I love him. What is Christmas? Christmas is making it possible so a just and holy God could take us back and accept the praise we offer him and receive in some sense, to some degree, that which he had in mind when he made us. Christ died for you. Yeah, that's sideline. But the main truth of Christmas is Christ died for God. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. But you say, he said he came to seek and to save the lost. Do you know why he came to seek and to save the lost? Huh? I know why, so man could go to heaven. That's true, but that's not the big one. No, he came to seek and to save the lost because the one that lost them wanted them back so badly. That's why he came. He came to gather up the lost and get them back to the one who lost them so that God could receive the glory. Let's honor him this Christmas. Let's praise him this Christmas. Oh, let's get alone and lift our hands to heaven and say, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the folly of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, is now. Let's get in the Christmas season alone and lift our voices to God and sing holy hosannas. But more than that, let's right ourselves with the purpose of our lives. So that whether it be standing behind a pulpit preaching, or whether it be taking care of a nursery in a church, or whether it be taking hands that are stiff and trying to straighten them out so once again they can be straight, and taking a voice that cannot speak and making it speak again, whatever it is, that our lives may glorify Him. Charles Spurgeon said, dear God, help me to love you so much that when I say, I love you, Jesus, you can look back at me and say, I know it, Charles. I spend a lot of time alone. An awful lot of time alone. In fact, I spend almost all of my time alone. And every little bit, please don't misunderstand me, I don't preach for praise. But I enjoy every little bit, every I love you. I enjoy every little note that's under the door. I enjoy everybody that says that's a good sermon, and every once in a while, when I think we've had a real good service, I think sometimes I think I did pretty good preaching. And not often, but sometimes. And I walk out the door, and somebody says, hey, preacher, I want to tell you something. And I think they're going to say, that's a good one. But they say, preacher, you feel all right? And I did before you said that. And I walked down the hall, down the alley, and hey, preacher, hey, that sure was a good... Yeah? A good what? A good special. Wasn't that a good special tonight? Yeah, it sure was. I want to murder the singer. And then finally somebody said, I was blessed with your sermon. And it makes it all worthwhile. If I hunger for that, don't you think God does? That's why He sent Jesus, to get it back. Our Heavenly Father, I pray the purpose of Christmas shall be fulfilled in our lives. As we think of the angels, the angelic choir singing, glory to God in the highest.